Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we are talking about all the things the girls need to know before getting engaged, really putting more of an emphasis on like the conversations that you should have before getting engaged. I had just put up an Instagram story asking what kind of topics you girls want to hear, what recommendations you have for me for the show, any upcoming episodes that you need. And quite a few of them were all in relation to this, being in the, relationship stage before getting engaged. What should I know? What should I ask? What should we be doing? And we'll get into all of that today. And then we do have a Dear Victoria segment at the end, a girl asking for advice. I didn't want to read the whole thing because I didn't want to like spoil it for myself and give myself too much time to prepare on what to say. So I don't know fully what the situation is, but I think it has to do with like a situationship, a hookup, a guy she's seeing sort of thing. So we will get into that at the end. So stick around because, you never know what resonates. But let's get right into those must-have conversations before getting engaged. And here's the thing. I could even say this as far as like conversations on like the first date, the second date, because I personally would never get into a relationship with someone without knowing these kind of things first. Maybe not everything, maybe not every last detail. However, when I was dating, single, dating, going out, meeting guys, I was so intentional. I wanted to meet my husband. Like, I wasn't looking for a boyfriend. It wasn't like, I've been single for a little bit and like, I'm ready to have some fun and meet a guy. Like, no, I was single for always. And I was not going to bother getting into a relationship with someone that I did not see as long term. And by long term, I didn't mean a couple months, a couple years. I meant marriage, a lifetime, having children, raising a family together, immersing our, pre-existing families together, becoming a union, taking two separate lives and merging them together as one. Like, that's what I was looking for. So when that's what you're looking for, a relationship, a life with someone, these are the kind of conversations you're going to have from day one. So it's not to say that like, if you didn't do that, you messed up or it's too late, but it is to say that if you did not do that and now you're in a relationship with someone, maybe it's a couple months, maybe it's a couple of years, which would be crazy, and you haven't had these conversations and you don't have the answers to these things, now is the time to do that before you get to the point of even discussing engagement, because you should not even be you shouldn't even be seeking an engagement with someone that like you're not a bajillion trillion percent sure of. And by sure of, I don't mean a trillion billion percent sure that you have feelings for this person. Like, you could be absolutely head over heels in love with someone, and you could still not be 100% sure that they are the right match for you as far as compatibility goes, the lives that you intend on living. Like, there's so much more that goes into marriage. And the unfortunate truth is, love is not enough. And I've said that always. I've always, always, always said love is not enough. That song, like, my love don't cost a thing. It's like, obviously it's an old song. If you know, you know. And if you don't, Google it. My love don't cost a thing. I'm like, oh no, mine definitely does. Like, mine certainly costs a thing, costs a few things. And I'm not only talking, financially, I'm just saying in general, like, you can't just, like, love is just, it's just not enough. We actually just got into that conversation a little bit with our priest who is performing our wedding ceremony, our marriage ceremony. If you got married in a Catholic church, if you are getting married in a Catholic church, you know that you have like the meetings with the priest and you go over some things and you do some questions and, you know, he kind of, not to say coaches, we're not coaching, but he kind of just like guides you, you know, until the wedding day. And so we did some sort of quiz and we were talking about, you know, the commitment of marriage and all that. And however, one thing led to the next, we got into the conversation of, is love enough to save a marriage, to fulfill a marriage, whatever the case is. And the answer is no, it's not. Because marriage is so much more than just, I love you and you love me. It is a choice. It is obviously a commitment, but it's not a commitment of just like staying loyal. Because you could stay loyal to someone and honestly, not even, like, you could have no respect for that person. You could stay loyal to them because you're like, what am I gonna do? Go out and cheat? Go hook up with other people? Yet at the same time, not have a fulfilling marriage. You can stay loyal to someone, not cheat on them, not seek other people, and still not feel right. And still not feel like you put each other at first 100% of the time, and still not be 100 bajillion percent devoted to that person. Because guess what? That person is going to have to come before everybody. Because that person is the only person in this entire world that you choose. You don't choose your parents. You don't choose your siblings. You certainly don't choose your children. They just come on out and what you see is what you get. Okay, luck of the draw. Here's who I got. So, like, you don't choose anyone else in your life except for your husband or your wife. That's actually right there. That's a very good conversation to have is... Have you guys ever seen those, it's kind of like the interview on the street things where they interview a man and they say, okay, put these people in order. Who comes first? Mom, wife, kid. Mom, wife, daughter, whatever the case is. Let's say it's mom, wife, daughter. Obviously, son would be the same thing, but whatever. That's probably what the video says. And people give all mixed answers. People give all mixed answers. And here is the only correct answer. No way around it. Your wife comes first. Your child comes second. Your mother comes last. Point blank, period. I do not care how great your mother is. I do not care how good of a relationship you have with your mother. I do not care what your mother has done for you. Your wife comes first. You chose this. You chose this level of commitment. And that level of commitment means choosing to put this person first in every life. In every world, in every situation, in every aspect of whatever, even if you don't agree with them, even when shit gets hard, no matter what is going on, when you get married, that is what you just chose. You just made the choice of saying, this person will come first 10 out of 10 times, even if I think they're wrong. I will still put them first. I will tell them that they're wrong. I will correct them as far as I know. I will, you know, set them straight, but they will still come first. No one will even know that I think that they're wrong because it's no one else's business. Our business is private between the two of us. So no one would even know what issue I have with them because that's how much I'm putting them first. Then your child, because you chose to have a child, you may not have chose that individual child. You may not have drawn them up in a lab and created their personality and said, here's the child I want. You may not have chose that specific person, but you chose to have that child. And when you choose to have a child, you choose to be responsible for that person. You choose to raise them. You choose to guide them. You choose to take care of them, to protect them, to provide for them. You're making a lot of choices when you decide to have a child, to raise a family. That child is yours, your responsibility, your priority, point blank. Then comes your mother. Again, I don't care how much of a mama's boy you are. I don't care how great your mom is. That's just the way that the cookie crumbles. And quite frankly, that should be what your mom wants for you. Your mom should want you to grow up and put your wife and children first. That's kind of the point. You don't have children and hope that your children take care of you forever and stick around with you forever and you know, don't move on and don't create a life of their own. You have a child in hopes that they become an adult, in hopes that they become successful, and in hopes that they have a wife and have kids and whatever the case is, have a life of their own outside of you, right? That's what your husband is for. Your husband is there to take care of you. So as long as this cycle continues the way it's supposed to, then everyone gets taken care of. The wife is taken care of, the child is taken care of, and the mother is taken care of, as long as the cycle continues the way that it's supposed to. Obviously, another conversation for another day is when a mother does not have, let's say, a good relationship with her husband, or maybe she doesn't have a husband. Maybe she's, you know, alone, and maybe she's a little bit more narcissistic and wants her son to basically take the role of her husband. We've heard of that. We have heard of these narcissistic mother-in-laws who want their son to put her first. And if that's the case for you in your relationship, I'm very sorry, but you're going to have to talk to your man about it. Don't let your man fall for it, okay? His duty is to you. And that conversation should be had. If somebody were to ask you, or if you were in this legit situation, who comes first? Wife, child, mother. What's the order? That's the order. Find out. Let's see if a guy you're seeing would put you anywhere other than first. If he would put you second, if he would put you third. Let's see. And the other thing is too, because a lot of people say your child would come first. It's still wrong. It's still wrong. Wife comes first. Child comes next. No one could change my mind. That is the entire point. You and your wife together take on the entire world, okay? Point blank. So that's that. That's a conversation to have. But now let's get into some other conversations. I have some notes here. And again, I really think that these are, a lot of this should be conversations that you have from day one, because at least if you have it on the first date and you're so not compatible, you won't even bother wasting time on a second date. When people don't have intentional, serious conversations up front, first, second, third date, and then they start to see someone for weeks and months, and now you end up in a relationship, it's like fast forwarding through a movie, you know what I mean? And like, then you just get to the ending and it's like, now I'm in the situation where I have these feelings for someone, I'm invested in this person, and I don't even know how I got here. So first of all, is to ask them point blank period about their life goals. And do not ask this in like an interview style kind of way, you know? And this could be whether it's on a first date, a second date, or in a relationship. It's not like, okay, I go, then you go, then I go, then you go. Let it feel natural to the conversation. Let it fall into a conversation where it takes place. if you feel like you're not having these deeper conversations and you feel like you don't have the segue, like you're like, oh, we just talked about, you know, what we did tonight, what we ate, our favorite food. How do I now, you know, transition into? So tell me your life goals. If you feel like you're not getting there beneath the surface and you need to crack the code a little bit, you should really do have like a date night where you do those card games. You know, the card games where you ask the deep questions. We're Not Really Strangers, I believe, is the brand that I have. There's like a few different ones. There's just like the general life pack. Then there's like the dating pack and relationship pack. Like get the ones like that. And I feel like that will trigger good conversation. That will definitely set the tone to like get into the conversations. And what you want to know is like the real things, not like, what's your life goal? Like, you know, I want to be successful and I want to have a family. Break that down for me. Like, what does that mean? What are your personal life goals? What are your professional life goals? You could even dig even deeper. Like, what are your health and fitness goals? Like, what do you see for yourself? And it doesn't have to mean my health goals are, you know, I want to be super fit and I want to lose weight. It could literally be like, for me, like, a health goal. Like I really want to be stretching and moving and be like more mobile, because I find that because I don't stretch and I haven't been that consistent with working out. I did just join Pilates and I will be going 3 times a week. I'm very excited. So I hope that helps me with that. But what I feel like is I look at like grandparents and I see people's grandparents that are the same exact age, and like some are with it and they're running with their grandkids or even their great kids and great grandkids, and they're having a catch and they're bouncing around and they're energetic and they're moving around. And then I see the others who are like a vegetable, and they could be the same exact age, if not even younger. And they're seen as very elderly. They don't have that same mobility. They can't bend over. They can't go, they can't pick up the kid. They can't go here. They can't go there. That's like honestly a fear that I have for myself, is like I want to always stay in shape and I want to get my mobility going. I want to like really be able to be that youthful grandparent or great grandparent. I want to be able to pick up and hold and walk around with my grandkids, and I want to be able to bend over. Like these are actual things that I think about and that I want for myself. So that's something that honestly I'm prioritizing now, because I'm in my 30s now. And like, this is how you prepare to be that way in your 40s and then in your 50s, like, you know, so it could be anything. Like truly the life that you see for yourself, personal, professional, and like get specific. I want to be successful. Okay. Well, another question you could ask them is, what does that mean? How do you define success? Maybe that person wants to open a business, or maybe that person wants to go back to school and become a lawyer, or maybe that person doesn't even see a career as success. He sees something else as success. It could be money. It could be the health of your family and the size of your family. Like successful to you means having a good house, you know, like maybe not a mansion, but just like a perfect house that fits everybody comfortably. And, you know, I'm able to pay off my mortgage and put my kids in school. Like that's success to that person, you know, like it could be anything. So find out what their personal and professional goals are, because they are completely different things. Personal is your own personal life outside of work. Professional is your career and maybe, you know, financial. And then you can segue into, how do you define success? What is success to you? And what would be the turning point for you to know, I made it? I am successful. I'm content with where I am. And also, speaking of being content, if you're with someone who's like a workaholic, like these are conversations that I specifically have, because I'm with someone who's extremely hardworking and will work many, many, many hours a week. He's not working a 9-to-5. He's not working 40 hours a week full time. It could be 80 hours a week. Like he's working nonstop. So these are conversations I've had. These are conversations that you should have, is when is like enough for you? When are you content? When, at what age do you maybe not plan to retire, because maybe they're the type of person who's like, I'm never retiring. I'm always going to do some sort of work. But when do you plan to say, I've got enough money in the bank. I could accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I could take care of my family and live. And like, yes, I'll still have like my future businesses and side projects, but like, I don't have to work all day, every single day. When does that happen for you? Does that happen for you? When are you ever going to be content? Because you need to make sure that your lifestyle, your future lifestyle that you see for yourself aligns. I don't want to be home by myself all day, every single day, you know, while my husband, even when I'm in my 60s and 70s, is still working all day, every day, even into 80s. I know plenty of people who legit work until they die, which is fine because that's sometimes what keeps people young. That's what keeps people going. That's what keeps them youthful, you know, keeping them busy, perfectly fine. But what's the actual lifestyle you see for yourself in the future, long term? I'm not talking about when you're 30 and 40. I'm talking about that retirement age, 50, 60, 70, whatever that is. So having a conversation around their lifestyle plans and intentions, like where do you actually see yourself in the future? What do you actually see for yourself? What are you actively working toward right now? That's a very good question to ask. What are you doing right now that's going to set you up, that you feel is setting you up in the future? And this is important to talk about because sometimes people don't think about the future. And like they're very like, I live for the present. But I'm a very intentional person and I needed to know that the partner I was going to have would also be an intentional person and would have intentions for us, our relationship, our future, and not just be the person who's like, just YOLO, like live life. Like that was never my vibe. Is there anything wrong with that vibe? No, because there's a pot for every lid. There's someone for everyone. So someone might be a perfect match for a person like that. Like, oh my gosh, like I love how spontaneous everything is. And like, we have no plans, but we're just like living life. That gives me anxiety. That could never be me. So if you know that that could never be you, but yet your partner is that type of person, you might have to sit back and reflect and say like, I really don't know if this is the person for me long-term because I can't live my life like this. And it like drives me crazy. And that goes into another one, your non-negotiables in a partner, your non-negotiables in life, your deal breakers, things that you're never going to tolerate. These are big conversations to have. And I do think that they are like, you know, these are conversations, yes, in general to have before you get engaged, because I do think that the average person doesn't always overload with all these questions on the first or second date, but I do think that you should know this before you even get into a relationship with someone. Your non-negotiables for a partner, for yourself, for your life, your deal breakers, and the things that you just absolutely will never, ever, ever tolerate. Now, there could be the obvious ones for everyone, and then there could be different things for everyone. A deal breaker, infidelity, cheating, obviously. All those big things, you know, whatever, I'm sure everyone will say. But then you should also be able to dig deeper and know how important certain things are for you that like you absolutely want in a partner. It's funny because I don't know why this just came to my mind. I'm watching that stupid show on Netflix, Perfect Match. And this year they blended like the people from The Bachelor and whatever. And so if you're watching, Rachel and Clayton from The Bachelor are on Perfect Match on Netflix. And the show is over. So they're all doing like press, like the filming of the show is over. So they're doing interviews. And an interview asked Clayton why they're not, like why he ended things with Rachel. He said it's an incompatibility thing. And we had certain conversations that just showed a very big difference in what we value in life. And so you know, I knew that she couldn't be the one for me because of that. And he didn't say what it was. Then Rachel went on an interview and said, I could tell you exactly what it is. It's that we don't see like the gym the same way. I'm not a gym girl. Fitness is not my life. She's like, you know, I work out here and there. I go on my hot girl walks, but like fitness is not life for me. And for Clayton, it is a non-negotiable to have a partner who sees it the same way. And you know what? It's kind of valid. And I'm not sitting here. It's not even about like, it's not a body shaming thing. Look at Rachel. She's flawless. She's petite. She's cute. She's in shape. She's beautiful, honestly. So it's not like he said to her, I doubt that he said to her, you need to get in the gym and work out because you're not looking good. I don't think that that was it. And she didn't make it seem that way either. So it seems like they're on the same page there. It seemed like a difference in lifestyle. Seemed like a difference in their values. And for him, he very much values a gym freak lifestyle type of person. And she's just not that person. And I could be honest, like that would be me too. Like I would be Rachel. Like that's never been me. I have my own struggles with even getting to the gym and committing to the gym. That's why I literally signed up for the new Pilates studio, because I'm like, okay, this is something I could get into. Like it's cute. It's girly. It's fun. Like I like the community. Like I like that vibe. So that's something I can commit to. That's it. It's very hard for me to commit to a gym. It's very hard for me to commit to, you know, a fitness lifestyle. And there are people who that is their way of life. And they're like that hot fit couple, you know, they're ripped up. They're in the gym together every day. Even when my fiance and I were going to the gym together, we weren't even working out together. I'd be on the treadmill half an hour. He's over there lifting like, and then I'd be miserable. I'd be like, all right, is it time to go? Like, we're just not that type of couple. So that works out for us. But say one or the other was like, you know, super dedicated, like it would be hard. And so, you know, people were going crazy in the comments. Oh my God, I can't believe he would force you to go to the gym. And it wasn't, I don't even think it was that. I genuinely think that it was a non-negotiable for him to have that compatibility with his partner. And she just wasn't going to be that. And so it was like, okay, then we're not, you know, we're not on the same page. And it's valid. It's fair. It could be whatever it is. It doesn't have to be that. It could be legitimately anything. Whatever those deal breakers are, whatever it is that you won't tolerate. I mean, let's look at another one. Like Alex Earle, she's a great example because everyone's always in her comment section thinking she's single. She goes out, she parties. Now they're in a long distance relationship. He's playing football over, I don't know, wherever he is. And she's living her life as a young 20 something. I don't even know where she lives either. She's all over the world. And she's always out. She was partying. So the comments are always, oh my God, they're done. Oh my God, she's single. And she has made it clear they're not. But they had these conversations where he accepts who she is and he's okay with that. Another man might say, absolutely not. It is a deal breaker for me that you would go out and party all night, you know, acting single, looking single. Like that's a deal breaker. People have many opinions on her relationship and on herself and how that's going. So that's why that just came to me. Whatever the situation is, you need to know what your non-negotiables are. This is what I need in a partner. This is what I need from myself in my life. And this is what I will not accept in a partner and will not ever tolerate, you know, in a relationship. And the non-negotiables can go a million different ways because it could go into the roles that you play in your relationship, you know, the type of parenting skill, the type of parenting discipline and whatever, like all that kind of stuff. You know, there's so much. So let's talk about the kids thing for a sec. Children, that's a conversation you need to have. One, not only do you want kids, how long until you want kids? Like, when do you want to start? You need to talk about that timeline. Like, and also just timelines in general. When do you see yourself, like, how long would you be in a relationship before getting engaged? How long would you want to stay engaged before you get married? How long after getting married would you want to have kids? Talk about those timelines. I made it clear I would not stay in a relationship for longer than 2 years without getting engaged. Because to me, it does not take 2 years or longer to know if you want to marry somebody. I think that you know right away. I think that you can know it in 6 months, 9 months. So we got engaged at a year and a half. I made it clear 2 years was my maximum. 2 years was my timeline. And then also we both didn't want to have a long engagement. I mean, he didn't necessarily like want to have a long relationship before getting engaged either. Like that, I made it clear because he's the one who has to ask me, but he was on the same page. Like we were aligned on that. And then we also were aligned on not wanting to have a long engagement. So that's why we're getting married within that year of being engaged. We're getting married, 2 months short of, we're getting married 2 months short of a year, I think, from being engaged. So like not having a long engagement. And then God willing, like we do want to, you know, have kids as soon as we can, but I also don't like to put like the definites on that because of fertility. And obviously God only knows, you know, that's a very tough thing. It's a tricky thing and not everybody is successful with that, but it's at least about knowing that you're on the same page of wanting to try, wanting to, you know, have kid, like you're not, he's not the type of guy who's saying, you know, I want to travel for 5 years. I want to do this for 5 years. I want to wait until, you know, I have kids. Like that was a deal breaker for me. That was a non-negotiable for me was, you know, I didn't want to have these long periods of time before starting, you know, to have a family. If you're younger, it's different. If I was 23 years old in this relationship, it's different. I'm 30. So my biological clock is ticking. I never would have been with anybody who would have said, I want to have 3 years of a relationship, 2 years of, you know, an engagement, and then 3 years before we have kids. I want to wait this, you know, 10 year, like absolutely not. If you're younger, it's different. If you're like me, no, it just was not going to happen. But now with kids, okay, of course you want to have that conversation. Do you want kids? How many kids? What's your parenting like style? Not to say that you have a parenting style before you have kids, but like, what's your idea of a parenting style? Like, what's your idea of discipline? And even like schooling, like what do you see for your kids? What type of school would you put them in? Would you put them in a public school, a Catholic school, a private school, anything, whatever. There's a million different types of schools. So like, how were you raised? And what do you want for your kids? Do you want to homeschool? Like that's even a big thing now as people are homeschooling. So like you might say like, are these conversations necessary before getting married? And the truth is, yeah. Because a difference in these big things can cause a lot of resentment in your relationship. And especially after getting married, then you're like, I'm locked into this, you know? And then, like I said, the schooling, like religion, politics, like obviously those are conversations that you should have because it's that defines someone's morals and values. So like, I know like you don't want to be on a first date with someone, you know, a stranger and like trying to like be sexy and romantic and being like, so what's your religion and what are your political views? Like that's not, I don't necessarily suggest that. But I also think that you can just find that out by the way that people talk about their values, you know, like you, people's values and morals and upbringing and the way that they view the world and their perspective on things and their opinion on things, like that could also tell you where that person leans and what they believe in. And then that could tell you if you're compatible, you know, with that.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
And then also when it comes to the kids thing, I think what's really important is to have a conversation about like what marriage means to that person and what, like how he intends on being in a marriage. Does he want to be a husband or does he just want a wife? Like, what does being a husband mean? Because there's a difference. I want a wife versus I want to be a husband. Same thing with kids. Does he just want to have kids or does he want to be a father? Because there are plenty of people who love the idea of having kids, but don't love the idea of being responsible for them. Don't love the idea of having to spend every last dollar on them. So what does being a husband mean? What does being a father mean? Do you want a wife and kids or do you want to be a husband and a father? That's a big deal. And on that same order of like wanting to be a husband, he should also be wanting to continue to date you long term, not just date you in the beginning, but continue dating you forever and ever and ever. Like, how does he intend on dating long term? Like, that's another conversation you could have is like, you know, for me, romance is very, very, very important in a relationship, not just in like the dating stage in the beginning. I want to feel pursued forever. I want to feel romantic and romance forever. I want to feel like I'm still going on dates and we're still prioritizing solo date night, even when we have kids, like having those conversations that might not necessarily be like Q&A, but it's just a conversation. And like, what if he turns around and says, you know, once we have kids and kids are the priority, like we probably won't go on dates. It's like, well, we can, even if it's once a month, get a sitter, find the time, prioritize each other, go on a solo vacation for just a weekend, you know, like things like that. So having those conversations, or, you know, he might sit there and say, absolutely. Like, I watched my dad and my mom still prioritize their relationship throughout my entire upbringing. Like, you know, every now and then we would stay with our grandparents or we had a babysitter and our parents went out all the time and they had so much fun and I want what they had. Like, that might be a thing. Or he might turn around and say, I never saw that with my parents. Like, I'm not used to that, you know, like I'll have to really like try to lean into that. So like, whatever the case is, those, again, conversations that need to be had. Also on that same concept would be love languages. This is a very good first date conversation. What's your love language? What's your communication style? The love language is obviously words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. So what do you love to do and what do you love to receive? Because they could be two different things. Me personally, all five love languages are my love language. I love to receive all of them. Give me every single thing. However, as far as doing, I would say I'm mostly a words of affirmation giver and a quality time giver. Like, I'm not the hugest on acts of service, at least in my relationship, because I feel like he does more of the acts of service in that way. But like, obviously we both do whatever for each other. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I would say my first initial instinct to give is words of affirmation and quality time. But I'm also like, I am a good gift giver. I am into physical touch. I am into, like, it's hard. For me, they're all so important, but they're not that way for everybody. So find out what their love language is both ways, what their communication style is, how they handle an argument. Do they shut down and walk away? Do they save it for another day? You know, they say, okay, I'm the type who, like, I shut down. I don't want to argue, so I'm just going to go to sleep and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Or are they the type that needs to talk about it right then and there, solve the problem right then and there? Do they need space? Do they give you space? Do they want space? Do they not want space? How do they solve problems? What kind of problem solver are they? That's a big one. And then I really want to talk about the, like, living together thing, because this is another big conversation. First of all, two big conversations to have would have to be finances and household, you know, responsibilities. Finances being, what do you see for a marriage? Joint accounts, separate accounts, a mix of both. Like, you have a shared account and you have a personal account. Do you have, like, an idea of savings or spending, or, you know, who pays for what? Like, is this a 50-50? Is this an 80-20? Is this a 100-0? Like, what's the vibe here? You know, like, what are their opinions on finances in a marriage? And then also, like I said, the household responsibilities. Because, like, living together and finances and all that, like, the bills being merged together and the household things being merged together, like, that's a very big thing. Very, very, very big thing. So, like, even though it's a tough conversation, it's an important one. We definitely had that conversation before we got engaged of, like, what we see, finances, joint accounts, all that stuff. We both have businesses, so, like, we're always going to have our business accounts, but then we're going to have, you know, our personal accounts together. So it's kind of like a mix. We also know how our finances are divvied up of, like, who takes care of what, you know, like, we already know how that is, and it's kind of how it always was. So that's very important to discuss. But then, like, in the house, you know, that could, I feel like the finances and then the household, like, responsibilities and chores and roles can kind of merge together. For example, I'm home all the time. Like, I work from home. I work for myself. So I have a very flexible schedule. I can go to Pilates in the middle of the day. I can go to lunch in the middle of the day. I'm the one that's home 24/7. So I am the one that takes on the household chores. I am the one doing the cooking and the cleaning. I'm doing the laundry. I do all of that. And I would never, ever, ever even expect or want him to do those things, because he's the one out working all day. So in our household, we do follow more of the gender roles, quote unquote. You know, we don't really share those responsibilities. It's like, yeah, I am the one in the kitchen. I am the one cleaning. I am the one doing all those things. But, like, I would take that any day over being out doing physical labor in the heat all day, which is what he's doing. So, like, I am very happy with that. He's very happy with that. He would never come home and be expected to put the clothes in the laundry. Like, it's just not going to happen. And you have to know what your expectations are. If you're going 50-50 with everything, then your household chores need to be 50-50 too. Because I know plenty of people who are 50-50 financially, but then she's still doing all the stuff in the house. Absolutely not. 50-50 means 50-50 down the board. Down the line. Woo, across the board. We are 50-50 in every single thing. That's what that means to me. So if you're going to be 50-50 in one thing, then you got to be 50-50 in everything. If you're going to be 80-20, 100-0, whatever the case is, like, that's how it's got to be. You have to be consistent, because I feel like once the expectations become a little wonky, like, yeah, I expect you to work, but I out 9 to 5 and come home 6 o'clock at night, but I also expect dinner to be on the table waiting for me. Let's hold on a second, because that doesn't make sense. If we're coming home from work at the same time, why am I the one who has to make dinner? Whatever the case is, you know? So definitely have those conversations before you even dare bother moving in. And let's talk about that. I want to transition out of the conversation and talk more about the living together thing, because that was another question that somebody asked, which was thoughts on moving in together before getting engaged, waiting to be engaged, or waiting to be married. And of course, both of your beliefs should be taken into consideration. Like, say that he thinks he would want to live with a girlfriend and you say you want to wait. Like, you know, you can have the conversation and both can be taken into consideration. But I do think if your core belief and your intuition is telling you to wait, you should wait. Like, I think if down to your core, your values are not living together before getting engaged, that's what you have to stick to, because you will regret going against your core beliefs. For me, I went both ways. And I'm glad that we ended up waiting. What happened in our dynamic was his belief was you don't live together until you're married. Not even engaged, married. That was what he said from the very beginning. And that is my like upbringing, like my family beliefs. Like, you know, we both come from the same Italian Catholic background, and that's just what you do. You kind of live with your parents until you get married. Like that's like what traditionally they always did. And so that was my belief when I was younger. Then as I got older and I started dating and whatever, then I ended up changing my beliefs to I would want to live with a partner. I would want to live with a boyfriend because I want to know how they live, what their lifestyle is like, how clean they are. Like, I started to think, you know what, I want to get the show on the road. So I would want to live with someone and I would know. And then this way I could weed them out. And then when I met him and then we spoke about it, and then I'm in a relationship, I'm like, I am seeing how you live. Granted, sleepovers and all that is not living together full time, but it's enough to know how somebody lives, honestly. When people are like, sleepovers are not the same thing. You're playing house, but you're not living together. Let me tell you something. If anyone tells you that from having sleepovers, from spending multiple times a week with someone, you can't tell how they live, you're lying. You are lying. He knew how I lived. I knew how he lived. We knew already the financial expectations. We knew already the household responsibility expectations. We had these conversations. We saw how each other lived. We knew how each other were. And then I was able to say, you know what? I actually don't think that I need to live with a boyfriend. And I became even more firm on not and waiting for an engagement, because I was starting to realize how much more work, because I was the one who, like I said, was taking on those household responsibilities. I was like, wait, there's a big difference of doing it just for yourself versus doing it for two people. There's a very big difference in doing your own laundry on your own time, especially when you work from home and you're in your pajamas, the same pajamas I slept in last night, I stayed in all day today. So I didn't even go through another outfit. My laundry would be a couple pieces here and there. I could do laundry twice a week. Now, this man's changing his outfit three times a day. The laundry basket's piled up after a day and a half because of what we wore, whatever. I'm doing the laundry every single day, every single day. And when I picked up on that, I was like, I am not giving a boyfriend this sort of privilege. I am not living with a boyfriend. No ring, no engagement, no promise of marriage. No, like, we don't even have our sights on marriage, you know, like, there was so much work that goes into being that person who takes on those household responsibilities. And quite frankly, I think that you would feel that way even if you weren't doing it yourself. Even if you were 50-50 sharing, you know, the stuff, still everything is doubled. You made dinner for yourself or you made dinner for two people. You're doing the laundry for one person or you're doing the laundry for two people. You're cleaning up the bathroom and the kitchen after one person used the shower and use the kitchen, or you're cleaning up the bathroom in the kitchen after two people. Every single thing is doubled. So even if you're splitting it 50-50, it is never going to be the same as doing it only for yourself. So no matter how you spin it, there's a very huge responsibility that comes with living with someone. And there's a lot that goes into it. And we're the type of people who we keep our house very clean. The laundry is constantly done. We don't go days without cleaning and whatever. Like, I'm cooking every single night. So some people are a little different. Some people order in every couple days. So like, they don't have as much to clean up, or they don't spend as much time cooking. Like, I don't know. Like, it really depends on your lifestyle. But like, we're home every day. I cook every night. We're showering multiple times a day. Like, I don't know. People are a little different. Like, you know, there's a lot to clean, and we keep our house very clean. So like, there's a lot that goes into that. And so when you realize that, I'm like, at that time when I had started to think, no, like, I need to know how a man lives, so I want to live with a boyfriend. And then, you know, I got into a relationship and saw, I'm like, okay, I know how you live. I don't need you to move in with me. I know how you live. You're good. Wait till we get engaged. So I'm very glad that I waited for that, because you're not getting that reward of being taken care of if I'm not even being seen as like a wife, you know? And I also think it's important that like, you know, that what your intentions are for planning the wedding, like after getting engaged, because there are people who get engaged. Sure. Now you're engaged, and then they live together for years, and they're engaged for years, and they don't even have a wedding on the calendar. And it's like, so you're a girlfriend with a ring. I don't feel like a girlfriend with a ring, because we've been planning a wedding. Our wedding is coming up. Our wedding will be here any day now. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some girls truthfully are getting played. You got the ring. It may have been honestly a shut up ring, and there may be absolutely no intentions on planning a wedding anytime soon. So, you know, try to be mindful of that. Do I think you should get engaged and move in the next day? No, I don't. We didn't move in right after getting engaged because the house wasn't ready yet. So like, we still had a couple of weeks of living apart. And throughout those couple of weeks, it was the holidays. We were traveling. You know, we went away for New Year's. It was my birthday, like whatever the case was. And so there was like a lot that came up, and we were like, okay, after my birthday in February, we're going to start touring wedding venues. Like, we knew, because we were, we just had so much going on. We got engaged right before Christmas. We knew we had the holidays. We knew that we were going away. We knew we had my birthday. Like, we knew we actually had a lot of things happening. So we had that conversation of, after that, that's when we're going to start wedding planning. And we know for a fact, like, this is going to happen as soon as we possibly can. So that's why we made it, you know, that's why in the early winter of this year, we planned it for the fall of this year. And so we had those conversations. I knew what the intentions were. I knew what our plans were. I was never confused. I was never in the dark. Don't ever let yourself be confused. Don't ever let yourself be in the dark. Same thing goes for, you know, being like getting engaged too, because this isn't just him asking you to marry him. Like, you should both be knowing that you want to get married and when you want that to happen and when you want to get engaged. Like, this isn't just like, yay, thank God he asked me. Like, it should be like, okay, I'm ready to get engaged. Are you? Like, you should be having these conversations. So don't ever let yourself stay in the dark with anything. Don't ever let yourself be confused with anything. Make sure you're on the same page at all times. Make sure that he's a man of his word, and the things that he's telling you, his actions are matching up, and he's not just talking the talk. He's also walking the walk. And make sure that you feel clear-minded. You're like, okay, we're good. I'm not confused. Things are not blurry. It's very clear to me. I know what's happening. I know the engagement is coming. I know that the living together is coming. I know that the marriage is coming. I know that all these things are coming. So those are all the conversations. And now I want to get into the Dear Victoria segment. For those of you who don't know, I accept submissions for a little advice segment called Dear Victoria. You could email me at victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com and make the subject line Dear Victoria, and try to keep it as concise as possible, but send me your situations and scenarios that you need advice on, and I will be more than happy to answer if it is one that seems, you know, like a good fit for an upcoming episode. But this one is a good one, so let's get into it. Dear Victoria, this guy I've been talking to asked to hang out last night. We went to the mall, did some shopping, and then we went to the beach after for sunset. The night was great. But then we're sitting in his car, listening to music, vibing, everything is good, right? And he gets a call from his ex and he immediately declines. Then she calls again. He goes, sorry, I need to take a second. He answers her and walks out of the car and is sitting on the curb of a parking lot at 9 p.m. And I'm just sitting there like, what is happening right now? I think I was too shocked to realize what this man just did in front of my face. But this ex he is obviously still in contact with. And I'm like, what could possibly be so urgent that you need to talk to her when I'm with you? When he got back in the car, he said, sorry, that was just some BS. I'm going to take you home now. I got to meet my friends after this. I feel like this shows his true intentions and she's still important to him for some reason. It was so awkward after that. He just hugged me and then I left. Now he's still snapping me like everything is normal. And I don't know if I should confront him and say that was so messed up what he did in front of my face. But at the end of the day, what isn't mine isn't my problem. That's not my ex. That's not my issue to deal with. I'm a nice person, but I won't take disrespect. And it was such an ick that he still prioritizes her and made me feel like I was just there as a distraction or whatever. And I know I deserve someone who sees me for everything I am. Thanks, girl. This is a no. I could tell that you're younger from your message. Like there was some more context that was added that I left out, but I could just tell that this is like a younger group, especially the Snapchatting, hanging out at the mall. Like I know that you guys are a bit younger, so I'm going to talk to you like a big sister. Don't think that I'm being harsh. I'm literally telling you this because I love you. I would delete him on Snapchat. This person has got to go. You should never be even bothering seeing someone who, one, can't break contact with their ex, and two, would have the nerve to do it in front of you. I also would like to go as far as to say that I have a feeling he lied when he said, you know, he's going to bring you home because he's going to go meet his friends after this. I'm pretty sure he went to meet her. Like, what, he got a phone call with her, he talked to her, left you in the car, gets in the car and says, all right, I'm going to take you home. I got to meet my friends. I'm pretty sure he went to meet her. The being in contact with his ex is one thing, but the fact that he can't even like cut that cord when he's hanging out with you tells me something much bigger. Your gut is correct. Like there's something going on. What could be so urgent? Like why is she still a priority? She is still a priority. Do you even want to bother getting into something with someone, investing your feelings into someone when their ex is still a priority? Quite frankly, she's so much so of a priority that he couldn't even prioritize you when he was physically with you. At the bare minimum, he should have been able to prioritize your feelings because he was hanging out with you and said, I'm not going to talk to her right now. I'm with you. I'm not doing this. I don't know what she wants. I don't care what she wants. Clearly, he cared what she wanted. And he didn't even have the common courtesy, like the human decency to tell you what happened. He's just snapping you like everything is normal. It's not normal. That's not normal. I know what I witnessed. I know what just happened. You were with me, left the car, got on the phone with your ex, came back, took me home, made me feel very uncomfortable, went to see her. Then you didn't even say anything. You didn't even explain yourself. So that's not normal. And you can confront him, but I don't even see the point. I would just cut things off with this person. I would remove him on Snapchat. If you really could not remove him on Snapchat, and if it was really that hard for you, then you could keep him, but just don't Snapchat him back and don't answer his Snapchats. If he sends you any, just stop answering. I get your protectiveness of yourself and you have this like defense mechanism of like, well, What isn't mine isn't my problem, you know? Like, I can't really say anything because that's not my boyfriend. It's not my ex. Like, it doesn't matter. You're still someone who was, like, hanging out with this person, liking this person, interested in this person, and he disrespected you. So now you are involved, and now your feelings are hurt, and it's valid. And you might not be his ex, and you might not be someone who had a serious relationship with him, but it doesn't mean that you should be able to tolerate nonsense. Like, you're not nobody, you're somebody. You're somebody who was interested in this guy and excited about hanging out with this guy and looking forward to hanging out with this guy, and he disrespected you. You gave him the opportunity to see you, and he shitted all over that opportunity. He wasn't even grateful for it. And like you said, like, he made you feel like a distraction. If that's how he made you feel, then that's how you should feel about that person. I have a podcast episode that's called Don't Get Upset, Get the Ick. And it's an old one. I'm going to pull it up right now. And it basically is saying you should like someone, like, based on how they make you feel, not just because he's cute. Yeah, so I uploaded it as a Flashback Friday on March 14th, 2025. And it's called Don't Get Sad, Get the Ick. Disinterest is unattractive. And then I do have another episode that I think you would like as well. This was also uploaded as a Flashback Friday from September 27th, 2024. And it's called Gaining Your Power Back and Getting Over Him. So gaining your power back and getting over him, and then Don't Get Sad, Get the Ick, Disinterest is Unattractive. Those two episodes you need to hear, because it talks about, like, why would I like you for surface level things? You're cute, you're funny, we have fun when we hang out, you're charming, you're this, you're that, if you make me feel like shit. You make me feel like a distraction. You don't make me feel good. I feel really awkward. You did what you disrespected me. You did what you did in front of my face. You didn't even apologize. You didn't even explain yourself. That's what you think I'm worth? Goodbye. So that needs to be cut off. And like you said, I know I deserve someone who sees me for everything I am. Guess what? He doesn't. So if you know you deserve someone who sees you for everything that you are, then knock this shit off, because he does not. He does not. It's better to wait it out. It's better to be single. It's better to be alone than to spend your time with someone who does not see you for who you are. Because the only thing that's more lonely than being single and alone is being in a relationship and being alone. Because at least if you're single and alone, you're like, it's just me, myself, and I. I could take care of myself. I could go here. I could go there. I could do whatever I want. But then when you're in a relationship where you're meeting someone, you're hanging out with someone, and you're physically in their presence, yet you feel alone. He left you. He sat on the curb to talk on the phone with his ex-girlfriend, left you in the car to feel like a loser. I would feel like a loser. Like, what am I doing right now? That's the worst feeling. Because you're like, I could have been by myself. Why did I have to waste my time with you? I could have taken myself to the mall and taken myself to the beach. I could have taken myself to dinner. I could have gone anywhere I wanted to go. I could have done anything on my own, drama-free, mind my business, and have a good time. So why should I feel like shit with you? It is a million times better to be single and alone than to be in a relationship and be alone. That is the worst feeling. So get out while you can. It is soon enough. It is early enough. You're not that invested, but you're invested enough to feel hurt. And you should not be feeling hurt the second that you start hanging out with a guy. If he's still attached with his ex, let him. Let them do what they do. And if he's not going to be with her, he wants to be with somebody else, he wants to meet somebody else, yet he's still going to talk to her, that man is not ready for a relationship. So let him figure it out on his own. You are just the first of many girls who are not going to deal with his shit. So let him keep it going. And he will see that no one is going to put up with this. No one's going to deal with this. Especially not you. Because you listen to For the Girls podcast and we don't deal with that shit here. Okay? So that is that on that. Again, if you need advice on anything, email me victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject line Dear Victoria so that I know it is a submission for an upcoming episode. And that is all that we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.